We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 4. Evam Shishtani Bhutani Pravishtak Panchadatuvi Ekhada Dashadhatmanam Vibhajan jushate gunan evam shishtani bhutani pravishtak panchadhatuvi hekatha dashahatmanam vibhajan jushate gunan. Questions? Evam, in the manner just described, Shishtani, created, Bhutani, the living being, Pravishtaha, having entered, Panchadatibhi, created by the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Ekadha, onefold, as the overseer of the mind. Dashadha, tenfold, as the overseer of the five senses of perception and five organs of action. Atmanam, himself. Vibhajan, dividing. Jushate, he engages because of the individual soul to engage. Gunan, with the material modes. Translation, report. The super soul enters the material bodies of the created beings, activates the mind and senses, and thus causes the conditioned souls to approach three modes of material nature for sense gratification. Report. The following is a summary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary on this verse. The one supersoul enters the gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and uses the activated material mind to subtly divide the sensory activities of the conditioned souls among the five knowledge, acquiring senses, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, and by a further gross division, the five working senses, hands, legs, speech, genitals, and ears. Because the liberated souls have a strong tendency to serve the Lord, they are not attracted by the dualities of material good and evil. They derive their pleasure through devotion and love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who eternally enjoys his own transcendental pastimes beyond the material manifestation. When the conditioned souls forget their loving relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they develop illicit desires. Therefore, unable to serve the form, taste, fragrance, and other aspects of Lord Vishnu, these souls become bound to the bitter fruits of fruitive activities. But if their love of Godhead is somehow or other awakened, the conditioned souls can dovetail all their sensory activities in the service of the Lord's transcendental pastimes. Actually, all materialistic activities are most undesirable, but the conditioned soul, under the influence of illusion, sees apparent distinctions between good and bad, pleasing and displeasing, and so on. The Lord, the Supersoul, having entered the collective and individual consciousness of the living entities, knows the heart of everyone. Therefore, when a sincere soul aspires for spiritual perfection, the Lord frees him from material bondage and arouses his propensity to serve the Lord of Vaikuntha. Love of Godhead flourishes in the variegated flavors of transcendental enjoyment. In ignorance, however, the conditioned soul considers himself the proper object of service and thus misunderstands the entire existential situation. So we're continuing a discussion about liberation from this material existence. It has definitely been confirmed in all the scriptures, and it's pretty obvious that we are renegades from the spiritual world, and here we are, locked up in this material existence, very much bound to the results to all of our activities, especially our sinful activities are giving us so many pinpricks and miseries. We thought we could come here and enjoy, but as they say, are we enjoying yet? I don't know about you all, but still waiting. No, we're not really enjoying. We can bluff it pretty good to pretend like we're enjoying, but the super soul is there in the heart, as it's describing here, and he knows that it's just a foolish attempt and that we are just trying to bluff our way through the excuse that we're here to really be the supreme enjoyer ourselves, as it says here. But actually, we misunderstand the whole situation. That actually, we will never really enjoy, not materially. So how does this all happen? Actually, Krishna admits here, it's discussed here about the super soul, how he actually turned on everything. As soon as we got to the material world, he just clicked on all the switches, and our senses, our mind was free, so-called free to enjoy. So it was him that actually did it. Probably a little bit regretfully he has done this, but we wanted it. So he turned on all the switches. And now we are free to make a big mess of the whole thing. And immediately it happened. We can see that as soon as the child comes out of the womb, it's you know, crying, wanting this, wanting that. So it doesn't take very long for us to get steeped in ignorance and forget really what is the right thing to do. It all happens so quickly, and from then on, it's just a cloudy road in front of us, really not knowing where we're going or what we're doing. So the duty of the super soul is quite amazing, that he sits there within our hearts right next to us, and he's just sensing what we want, and he's there to sanction. Discussed here that he sanctions whatever we want. In other words, he's just kind of giving us enough rope to hang ourselves, unless we are liberated souls and have an attraction for devotional service. But most of us are putting it around our necks and pulling it on ourselves by approaching these material modes of nature. And so it's a regrettable situation, but that's Krishna's duty. And here in Kali Yuga, it seems like that the intensity of being attracted to sense enjoyment is just at the highest rate you can possibly think of. And therefore, there's more misery than I think ever has been on this planet. Within my lifetime, I can't conceive of how much misery is out there. Of course, communication is more available and goes all over the world, so we hear it from every corner of the planet now, but it seems like people are more and more miserable the more they think they can enjoy by some means or another. It's actually very scary being in this world. It's just a volatile situation. At any moment, poof, can all be finished. Just like I know many of you in this room got a call a few nights ago at 2:45. Don't go out of your house. I've never gotten these calls before, but actually at 2:45, I had already left the house to walk here. But it said, don't go out of your house. That we have a police call and stay within your house until further notice. Scary. You know, what's going on? Someone found out it was some angry husband that his wife was wheeling a knife around, walking around, you know, going to kill everybody. So within 5 miles of the whole area, we all got phone calls, you know. What's going on, you know, that we can't even go out of our house because people are wheeling knives, you know. Literally, you can get your head cut off around, you know, anywhere in the material world now. So it's a situation where people are saying, how can I escape? They're anxious for liberation of all kinds because it is such a situation that there must be something better. There must be some way we can make things better. And so we can look at liberation in different ways. Some kids want to get liberation from their parents, you know, rule, and the husbands want to get liberated from the wife's, you know, harassment. We want to get rid of debt. We want relief from the IRS. We want liberation from our diseases that we're getting. So many things. And so there's different fixes. There's the quick fix. The government, well, I can figure out how to get some loan to pay off this, and I can divorce my wife, and I can get another one. And so these are like little band-aids, you know, that ultimately cause more trouble in the end. Or there's a little bit longer-term thing where people say, well, I'm here in this material world, it's a lost case, so I'm just going to ride it out. But next lifetime, I'm going to get some liberation from this misery and get a better situation. I'm going to get a better looking body. I'm going to get a better birth. I'm going to get a better situation where I can enjoy. That's okay, but it's just going to make it worse for you ultimately. And then maybe you'll upgrade a little bit and someone will think, actually, I'm going to go to heavenly planets. There's no anxiety. I can take my dog and my cat and my kids will be there and the bird will be on the table to enjoy and everything will be just fine. That's heaven. So I'm going to worship that way. Even if you go to Tirupati, you know, a holy place, you can buy all these little teeny, small little silver instruments of a leg and an arm or an airplane. Or these are all their desires. They buy and they give a donation. They give it to Tirupati, Venkateshwar. Fix my broken leg. My daughter has this. I want to go here on the plane. I want to do this. So this is their idea of liberation. Just make things a little bit better. In heaven, it'll definitely be better. But as we know, back you come again. That desire to enjoy is still there. And then there's not really an upgrade, if you ask me, but there's the people that want to say, okay, I want liberation entirely. I want to get out of existence. I just want to go to nothingness. Eternally nothing? I can't imagine anything worse, to be eternally nothing. But anyway, that's a so-called liberation. Some people want to merge into the effulgence and just be a tiny little something and a whole bunch of other somethings. Not so exciting, if you ask me. Actually, someone came to my house the other day to help me with something. He ended up to be a Christian. They came in and were looking around, you know, real curious about my religion too. And so we had a little philosophical discussion after we did our business. And I was saying, yeah, I just want to finish up my business and get out of here. You know? And he goes, yeah, this is a horrible material world and everything. And I said, but you know, you can, you know, if you don't take advantage of it, you can go back down to a dog life. And he goes, I don't know. It might be nice to be a dog. I mean, my dog has it pretty good, you know. And I go, don't say that. That's not the kind of liberation you want. So that's another alternative. You want to come back as a dog and be liberated. I said, but, you know, the dogs in India don't have it so good, you know. And anyway, so these are different ways we can be liberated. If you study the Bhagavatamrita, I think it's called, where Gopakumara, he gets an opportunity to get all these different tastes of liberation. He goes, all kinds of bodies he gets. He even gets to be Lord Brahma. He goes to the Vaikuntha planets, and he's offered a position there with four arms, and he goes to Dwarka. He goes everywhere where people are hankering to go to and enjoy better. And he's never satisfied. He's never feeling comfortable. And they're saying, you know, you still got your little cowherd boy clothes on. You know, come on, get into it. You know, here we are, Vaikuntha, you can have, you know, live it up, you know. But no, I'm not comfortable. So he finally ends up where? In the loving embrace of Krishna, in the cow field of Krishna Loka, Goloka. So this is real liberation. This is the real satisfaction of the devotee. To actually go back to the eternal position of being with Krishna. All these other liberations, like I said, is like the water in the first of the calf print. So for the devotee, these other things are really not attractive. And so therefore we somehow or other have to become really attracted to Krishna. Not just, I mean, we hear, yeah, okay, when we join the movement, you know, you get liberation, you get to go to Krishna, you get to leave this material world forever and ever. But are we really ready for Krishna? Are we wanting this liberation just to get out of here and have something better to be with Krishna? Or do we really want Krishna? Do we have that so much affection that we want to be with Krishna forever? I don't know about you, but I'm not quite there yet. But that is the real goal of liberation for us. Somehow or other, we have to become so completely attached to Krishna. I was just listening to that song that he was singing, Yasamati Nana, which I wish we could sing every day. Because I don't know about you, but immediately your mind goes to where? To all the different aspects of Krishna. Can someone think of one thing in that song that your mind went to? The Jamuna, Butter Thief, about Nanda and Yasoda, about what else? Another thing, come on. Jamuna, the Kaliya Damana, Sundara Nanda, what are some other ones? All the different things going on in Vaikuntha and in Krishna Loka. So this is the affection that we should have, that we should get the minute we say Krishna's name, because the name of Krishna is completely filled with every aspect of Krishna. And that's what we should be hankering for, to know everything about Krishna. Every single little drop of nectar we can get, we should put into our Krishna account so that we can reflect there and go there. And develop some affection for Krishna. That's what bhakti is about, this bhakti cult. That's all it should really be. It should be getting to know him, getting to know all about him, about Krishna, so that we have that super soul in our heart, very much available and very much of a relationship with him, to confide in him all the time. But unfortunately, we have a room divider in our heart between the soul and the super soul. And that room divider is very thick. The walls have a very high R value, a very high insulation value. And that's the false ego. And it's very hard to penetrate that wall. And Krishna's on the other side calling to us and trying to explain things to us and giving us direction all the time, but we can't hear. The insulation is too strong because of that false ego. Just like right before that storm, I was sitting in my little area that we have screened in, and I noticed there was a cement podium that I had made. It's kind of in the brush now, I can't see it. And Krishna's telling me, you know, move it over here, you know, it'd be better, you know. And I was thinking, oh, that's all right, there's too much trouble to get back in there. Move it. The next day, the storm, tree, crashed in a million pieces, you know. Krishna was trying to tell me something. All the time he's trying to tell us something, but our false ego, no, I know better. I just, hold on. I'm in charge here. But no, Krishna is there in our hearts. So we have to penetrate this wall. And luckily we have the spiritual master giving us the holy name, which is very potent, which can purify and revive that original ego of a surrendered soul, a sold out servant and loving servant of Krishna. So we have to learn to hear attentively. We have to leave that false ego behind and listen to that super soul. Because he's trying to get us back to him more than we want to go back. So we take the spiritual master's instructions as our heart and soul and try to chant attentively. And not just call out to Krishna when we're in distress, you know, and finally, you know, pray to him with all of our heart and soul, but also in our chanting and in our glorification of Krishna, we have to express our gratitude in our chanting, express our affection to him, and try to develop that relationship. And in a mature state, we should just be asking, what is it that you would like me to do in this lifetime for you, Krishna? And then when Krishna hears that sincere desire, he has the ability to deactivate and take all the switches and turn them off, so that our material hankering gets less and less, it gets dimmed and dimmed, to the point where I'm not so attracted to this material energy anymore. I'm actually becoming more attracted to Krishna and to hear more about Krishna. We were at an engagement yesterday in Orlando at a college. It was interfaith gathering. It was very nicely organized by a friend of mine. And there were quite a few other religions there. And it was interesting. They got like a 3-minute presentation we could give. But we had tables and people coming around. And you could see that the students that were coming by were a little curious. They were there. They didn't have to be there, but they were curious to find out, what are all these different people offering and with their, you know, with their religions. And it's true that different religions offer different types of liberation and different, you know, results for their activities. There were a few interesting presentations. But I could see that we're offering something that none of them had, and that's Krishna. We're actually offering them God in the most beautiful, wonderful form, that we could tell them whatever they wanted to know about Krishna. We could have stood there hours discussing Krishna and his attributes and the wonderful philosophy of Krishna and Vaikuntha and his friends and his mother and his playtimes and everything. Something that none of the other religions could give. So it was really, it increases your faith and your appreciation to Prabhupada of what he's given us. I know that when I first joined the movement, you know, hearing about, you know, what we get out of this, yes, we get Krishna and everything, but after, you know, just a few days of learning that Prabhupada had a mission and that there was so much to do in Krishna consciousness, that the idea of liberation wasn't even there. It's, the idea was now, how can I satisfy this master? How can I be a disciple and satisfy his desires? Ultimately, Lord Chaitanya's and ultimately Krishna's desires. So the conception of liberation just wasn't there anymore. And I don't think most of us think about that much of, oh yeah, where am I going to go after birth? As long as we keep ISKCON together so we can be in ISKCON next lifetime, hopefully that'll still be going on. But I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that even a worm or this or that, just so that I can remember you, Krishna. So this is what we gain by being in Krishna consciousness. I don't think we realize how entangled people can get in this material world. So much entangled that, you know, that the thought of liberation becomes very attractive, or else it's just not even there at all. Most of the students there yesterday never heard of Krishna consciousness. They never seen devotees before. And I asked many of them, do you think about these things? Do you think about, you know, reincarnation and this and that? And most of them were like blank faces. You know, just following the blind, you know, blind following the blind into a ditch. Not really thinking about these things. But hopefully they did get a little woken up yesterday. But when you hear of liberated souls, like last week we heard of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we heard of Haridas Thakur, of these liberated souls, that they gave up everything. And what did they end up with at the ends of their lives? Just the holy name. So this holy name is the connection, is the means by which can revive that connection to Krishna, revive that love for Krishna, which is greater than any liberation that could be offered. So it's so important that we hear about the lives of these liberated souls. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized this whole discussion in this purport by a simple song, Dayal Nitai Chaitanya, in just a very few lines. He says, once you have tasted, you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to the material world will come to an end. Again, once you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to this world will come to an end. Oh, when there is attachment to the holy name of Krishna, the life of a living being, the being very easily becomes successful. Oh, without affection for Krishna, life is simply useless. At the end of life, you will obtain the beautiful vision of Radha and Sham and Vrindavan, but only when the mercy of Lord Gaur is first received. Oh, at the end it said, oh, to emphasize that we have to become attached to the holy name, which gives us Krishna and which gives us a higher taste so that the material senses will not haunt us, will not drag us here and there. And then what will we get at the end? We'll get to see what we're seeing right here, right this minute. We'll get to see Radhe Shyam. So Prabhupada always kind of called us liberated souls already, because here we have it. We have everything right here. So we should take advantage of that and get in the mood of Srila Prabhupada of helping liberate other souls. Prabhupada's so kind that although everyone is in the ditch of material existence, being dragged there, by just following the other blind souls, we can bring them out. We can motivate their desires in a different way. We can tell them that they can dovetail their desires in the service of Krishna. And this can be a very joyful process of surrendering that false ego, which is keeping us from hearing Krishna. So it's a mission, an urgent mission, that we go out there and try to give them that higher taste. And of course, the holy name is a wonderful way to do that. We noticed a few people in the audience, we tried to get them up on their feet, and they were really wanting to dance. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough devotees to go down there and get them dancing, but that urge of wanting to connect to Krishna and be liberated from all these miseries and anxieties, especially college, is there. So we just have to give that little spark by going around and chanting and distributing this literature. We actually distributed tons of books yesterday. There were just one of them. We ran out of Bhagavad Gita. We ran out of so many books. Because they do hear about these great literatures and the opportunity to perfect their lives, but they don't really have what we have, and that's the spiritual master, which can inject in us and infect in us affection for Krishna, which is our saving grace. So we should beg, borrow, steal, and get the nectar of the holy name so that desire to know more and more about Krishna, to get closer and closer to Krishna, and make our heart a nicer place for him to be in, come stronger within our vision in this lifetime. This should be our real goal, not just that we get liberation, but somehow or other we get more attraction to Krishna. And of course we'll get much more satisfaction being here in the material world. Material senses are a bad product that we ask for. So now we should hopefully ask Krishna to take that product away and revive our spiritual senses. There's so many things we can do with our spiritual senses. And Prabhupada has given us a long list of things we can do in his service to please Krishna. So we should consider that this lifetime is very short, and we should keep fully engaged all the time. So are there any questions, answers? Shukada.
I was just realizing yesterday that it's really, at this time period, it's a very exceptional time to preach, because yoga is so well known and being vegetarian is so well known that people have a little idea, but not much. Like one young woman came up and she said, yes, she did yoga, but she was trying to meditate, but she wasn't sure what to meditate on. So she went online and she saw where it said to meditate on the flame of a candle. And she was just so bewildered, you know what I mean? She couldn't get into it. So when I showed her the picture of Krishna and said, you know, you meditate on Krishna, the Supreme Personality, she got bought like three books, you know? She immediately kind of zeroed in. And there were two young men that just kind of hung around. One of them said, you know, I know I'm hanging around a lot, he says, but these are the kind of things I like to talk about, but nobody wants to talk about it. And, you know, over the course of the time we were there, you know, I told him, you know, my name's Sukhada. He goes, well, where'd you get a name like that? I told him about initiation. He said, well, can you give me a name? His name was John. So I said, yeah, Gyanadas, you know. And then Madhu Mati met a young man. His name was Ryan. He was actually Hindu. So she said, no, 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 you're not Ryan. You're Narayan. So really, the whole experience, we were there probably for like 4 hours, but it was like non-stop nectar, non-stop distributing prasadam, distributing books, and preaching to people. So like Mother Kirti said, we just need a couple more people for it to be even more exciting.
So Krishna does make a difference. One time we were at the Rainbow Gathering, brought back one Buddhist. And then he came into the temple and looked at all the beautiful pictures. He couldn't be a Buddhist again. He said, this is just too beautiful. The Buddhist yesterday, his presentation was the shortest. And he was just set on silence. That was his program. But everyone else had some music. The Hindus, they said some prayers to something. And then the priest, he just had some really boring verses. Edwards was really, I noticed everyone was like, and then, oh, the atheist, all he did was talk about himself. I have my son is this, my this is that, I like this, I like to play golf, I like to do this. You should just be atheist and just be cool, you know, do what, he was in a free thought club or something. And then who else? The Sikhs, they had a harmonium and they sang a couple of mantras. And then the American India, he had a tom-tom. And he got him clapping. He closed his eyes and he got into this prayer to Mother Earth, just singing these beautiful chants and playing this tom-tom really, really expertly. But you could see he was really into Mother Earth. So you could see that the music was, in ours, everything was so much more attractive than silence and plain walls. So we've got what it takes, that's for sure. Dharma Ashtra.
Which college was this, Madhuji?
This is Valencia College in Orlando.
Okay. The other day when we had the Latiatra in
UCF.
UCF, yeah. So we didn't have enough devotees to pull the chariot. It wasn't so many devotees there. So we were calling on the students. Mm-hmm. They would come, and at kirtan, we would teach them the Hare Krishna mantra, and then they start leading the kirtan for some parts of the program. It was really nice. So nice to see that. Initially, they were fumbling, you know, mixing the mantras, but then the other leaders, they were kind of backing them up, and then they start getting into it, and it was really, really nice, really successful. Mm-hmm. You were talking about, you just mentioned about Srila Prabhupada, talked about that the devotees are liberated. Did you mention something like that?
He has said that at times.
So
yeah.
Sometimes I wonder what exactly that means. I tend to think that because devotees are like sacrificing the material path per se, that not having so much attraction for that, or at least not pretending to have attraction for that, but following a spiritual path, and that's liberated from that aspect. Can you explain some of that?
I think just going out in the material world for a while and then coming back here, you see the difference. You see that we are liberated. Compared to what's going on out there, we are liberated from so much distress and so many miseries. And we have all the knowledge. I mean, it can't get any better. You know, it's a type of liberation and we should appreciate it. Of course, you know, the more pure we get, the more we'll have Krishna will reveal things to us. But what we have now is unique and so precious. I have so much more appreciation every time I have to go out there and deal with material energy. So, if anyone else wants to comment on that, Madame Mohan.
As I was listening, where Prabhupada was mentioning on the point about, says if you go to, or if you have a disease, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you medicine, the medicine may run through different stages of the way you're getting better. He says, but once you start taking the medicine, then your disease is finished. So because we're taking the medicine, expert physician who knows what actual the disease is and remedy, then you're considered, it's a lot of times it even says immediately, you know, but that has to be understood.
Nectar devotion says that one of the qualities is that you get immediate relief from material distress.
I had a question about, you mentioned Gopi Kumara, he was not satisfied in so many different places, and that even included Vaikuntha. I guess my question is, to what extent are we supposed to not want to go to Vaikuntha? In other words, the residents in Vaikuntha, although Gopi Kumara was not satisfied in Vaikuntha, there's no doubt about that, but the residents in Vaikuntha, they were satisfied. And they weren't in Maya either. And they were satisfied and they were pure devotees. So I'm not trying to distract everyone from Goloka Vrindavan and have them want to go to Vaikuntha. We understand that there's so much more sweetness in the Loka. But within our Krishna consciousness movement, if some of us, you know, somehow or another, we like to stick with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and with that you end up in Vaikuntha. And for a very, like, really Vasika, advanced devotee, and not putting that down, it's good to be like that, but they would consider this a losing proposition. But ultimately, anyway, I just, what is your take on that? I mean, in our Krishna conscious movement, should we be like completely disinterested, or like shun the idea of going to the Vaikuntha department as opposed to the Goloka department?
Do you shun it? Would you have a problem going there?
At the stage I'm at, you know,
take what you can get.
I'm just hoping my ultimate destiny is something better than this.
Yeah, I think that's where most of us are. We're just looking for something better, and if it's
so like shooting yourself in the foot. That's my own point. But you know, I'm still at that stage where I'm just trying to practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and I don't always do the greatest job in that. So others who are more advanced, feedback on that?
I don't think any of us are more advanced. I think we're all at the same place. I know that when Prabhupada wrote that letter about Jayananda leaving and said he went to the heavenly Vaikunthas, or maybe he went to back to Krishna or Singapore, you know. But he probably went to Krishna Loka. But yeah, I think I can't say that I would refuse anything that isn't better, you know. So I think we're just happy to be in Krishna consciousness now, and hopefully we'll be in some kind of Krishna consciousness next lifetime. Not like they're not Krishna conscious in Vaikuntha. So I can't say. I can only say for myself, but like you.
Thank you.
Hopefully it'll be better. Adamahana, he just wants the top. He's going for this.
I thought what I said maybe not been complete. So Prabhupada, after that there was a question about coming back to the material energy once you're liberated. So Prabhupada gave a very strong answer to that. He says, as long as you follow, you're going. He says, but if you don't follow, that was your choice, then you become fallen. So there still remains that you're always activating your liberation by your choice. And if you choose not to follow the spiritual master, then you become fallen. And then we went into a controversial point that we were also in.
So we just do what Prabhupada says, and hopefully he'll engage us properly next lifetime. Oh, wait, there's one more comment.
You mentioned a couple of times how, you know, we're all pretty much the same, you know. And it reminded me of this second generation devotee who passed away. And before she passed away, there was a lot of conflict in her life, in her marriage. And there was a question about her not being so advanced as, you know, her husband and like that. And it was really causing her a lot of anxiety. So she told me she had a dream. And Prabhupada came to her in the dream and pointed, and there was like millions of kind of, I don't know what you call it. It's like when they're keeping score on a football field, there's like millions of little score keepers, scoreboards, yeah. And they were all like within 15 points of each other, you know? So she probably kind of pointed to that, and it really was very liberating for her, because she realized, like what you were saying, that we're all pretty close. close, you know. Someone may be a few points ahead or a few points behind, but you know, we're pretty much all together. Narasana, you want to say something? Okay. Jai Shri Prabhupada.